Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's I Talk Movies.
If you are a movie buff, or maybe you're just a fan of really great movies, and today's I Talk movie pick is not going to be a disappointment. It's Mother's Little Helpers. I'm your host, Allie Kona Bradford, and joining me today is the cast and director of a film that made its world premiere debut at South by Southwest, which is pretty darn impressive. So hello and welcome to everybody. We have joining with us, Sam Littlefield.
Hello, hello.
We have Brita Wall.
Hi, everybody.
Yay, we have Melody coming into you.
Hello. Yeah. Nice to see everybody.
And also we have director, writer, which all of you guys have written, but it's Kestrin Pantera.
Hi.
Hi, hi, hi. So really excited to talk about this movie. I just watched it. Fantastic. But I would love to, instead of me yammering on, have you guys tell me a little short brief synopsis for our audience who hasn't seen it, what's about.
Kestrin, take it away.
Mother's Little Helpers is a funny drama about a family of adult children coming home to say goodbye to and do right by a mother who always did them wrong. And it stars Melanie Hutzel, one of my heroes, Brita Wool, Sam Littlefield, Milana Weintraub. And it's an ensemble family drama, so it's kind of like every time we do anything with the cast, I'm like, did I get all the siblings? Like, did I forget anyone? and it's almost like living in an actual big family. Making this movie has been a dream come true.
And it's based on real stories, real events. I'm curious how much of those real events are real, or maybe whose real events they are. Assuming yours, maybe?
Yeah, it was loosely inspired by the life and death of my father-in-law, who had a wristband to South by Southwest year one. So it was really exciting to have the film world premiere at South by Southwest and then get to release it the month of Mother's Day. And we gender bent it, so he became Melanie. Melanie Hutzel, one of my heroes who I wasn't really close friends with before we started and have become close friends with, you know, over the time that we've created this. And I was just so blown away with Melanie's interpretation that I was like, imagine you're like Willie Nelson or like just someone who everyone loves. You're just uniformly loved, but maybe it would be a challenging parent figure. Like maybe you weren't always like the perfect mother, like textbook wise. And I just every day thank the world that Melanie Hutzel agreed to be in this film, as well as Peter and Sam and everyone. I'll let them speak to it because there was a lot of improvisation and people bringing their own personal experiences dealing with loss. But the premise was that everyone comes home to say goodbye to a parent and you're like, okay, why are they? Nope, they're not dead yet. Okay, you like want to control the experience? It's like there's almost like this childlike poking, like a stick poker, where you like see a squirrel and you're like, oh, it's dead, and fascinating curiosity around it.
It's dead.
And I think like it's a universal thing that we all share it, where we're like, you're gonna say goodbye to someone and you want to be there.
Right.
The moment, and it's holy and precious, but the moment never happens, at least not the way you want it to or think you might want it to. And you don't want it to happen in the first place, but since you're here, yeah. And that's like what the movie is.
Yay!
There you go. You know, I was going to say, one of the things that I found really interesting with this theme, and I think a lot of people just in life can relate to, is the fact that there's this parent who wasn't the perfect parent, and you want to make that experience comforting for them. But as you're revealing all these secrets about her misdeeds throughout your life, and it's breaking your heart, but you have to internally decide whether or not you're still going to be there for this person, or if you're just going to be disgruntled about everything. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that. And then Sam, for your character in particular, Jude, he was the person that was disgruntled and openly just a little bit about it at the beginning of the film. So I want to talk to you about your character, and maybe you can tell people a little bit about who he is and then how you developed him.
Well, I mean, it all stems from where, you know, Kestrin really came with the sort of the archetypes, the structure of each of the characters. And so then from there, she kind of really made it very clear from the very beginning that we were all sort of the specialists of these characters. We kind of took them over as though they were really, truly were our own. But Jude is a struggling addict, drug and sex addict. And he is on house arrest. And so him being stuck in isolation with his three sisters and his mother, who he has a really contentious relationship with, is deeply suffocating, which I think is something that we all can really relate to right now at this time in all of our lives, stuck in quarantine with our families and loved ones. And so, it, you know, the film really explores sort of kind of the dynamics that he's trapped in and is trying desperately to get out of. And it's totally to Kestrin's credit, it's all, I think the what's great about this film is that everyone is going through a really genuine struggle with their relationship with their family members and themselves, but it's done in a way that is so funny. And I think that, you know, families as a whole are really ridiculous when you get down to it, when you put, you know, you're putting these people together that don't really necessarily have anything to, in common except for where they come from. They're all genuinely such different dynamic people that, you know, putting them together just creates this ultimate alchemy. And yeah, I mean, that's that was kind of an answer to that question, and I guess a couple of other questions that you didn't ask, but there you go.
All right. Well, before we go on, we actually have a fourth cast member joining us today, so we're going to go ahead and bring Milana. Hello, hello.
Hi, hi, hi. Hello.
A little bit about the film and everybody's characters. I'm going to hop over to you, Melanie, just because you were being showered with compliments by Kestrin. What brought you into this film? What made you intrigued and want to take on the role?
Well, Kestrin asked me to have coffee, and she wanted to run this idea by me. We had met backstage at a crazy theater show I was doing. And I mean, to be honest with you, I'm so humbled by how Kestrin spoke about me earlier, because I feel just as grateful and just as lucky. You know, I think part of being in this business, you know, you do have to have some luck. And I just feel lucky that the universe aligned so that I could be a part of this project. It's one of the most fun and interesting things I've ever been a part of. Yeah, when she described this character, Joy Pride, as the female version of Willie Nelson, I was like, okay, I'm in. I like that. And because, you know, it's like I've mostly done sketch comedy for over half of my life. And, you know, I've done little bits and pieces here and there that were a little more serious. But to get to play this mom that was the core of the dysfunction of this family, and she's dying, and, you know, the kids who are so angry with me, you know, to have these scenes unfold was just, it was extraordinary. And I don't know, it was nice to be able to play a Southerner that wasn't like real sweet and, you know, just real cute and conservative, just like this hardcore, you know, backstage groupie, you know, partying her ass off and raising her kids at the same time and rough around the edges. That was just like, that was a big yes for me, I'll say.
Well, and I too, just to piggyback on that, I mean, Melanie, you know, I mean, we all grew up watching Melanie on SNL and everything. And you know, for us, I guess I'll speak for everyone. I mean, it was just such a delight to see her in this new light that none of us, I don't think, I mean, I had never been acquainted with this side of her, just deeply genuine, flawed, complicated character. And I feel like I hear this all the time with people that watch the film. It's just such a refreshing delight seeing her explore and express this character in the way that she does. It's a treat.
And she's hilarious. Even though she's playing a somewhat dramatic role, she still manages to, I mean, I mean, she is my queen and I love her, but.
And all of, and I can, okay, I'm going to pick, and all of you are beautiful, number one. And hilarious. Oh, I was like, how did these kids come from me? No, but they are all so beautiful and such amazing actors. And I don't know, just can't say enough good about them. And I learned from them too during this process.
So let's actually dive into that, the emotional aspect of this film, because there are some pretty heavy themes going on. And then Brita, I'm going to go ahead and direct this question to you.
Oh, I know. Oh my gosh.
I should wake up.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I'm totally awake. Right now, totally
showered. You had some great scenes while she was sleeping. That's okay too. but when you dived into this character, because you guys did so much improv, how much of that was scripted, and how much of that was just you sitting in the moment and in the character? I'm like, this is just what I would do.
Oh, that was for me.
Definitely.
That was Brita. That was Brita. That's what I thought.
Listened. Just kidding. I was listening. Wait, what was the
there were so many in-depth dramatic scenes that you'd have with Melanie and stuff like that. And because, as Kestrin mentioned, there was a lot of improv going on. How much of that took part in what you were doing? How much of it was scripted?
There wasn't a script. Basically, Kestrin was like, "We making a movie," and we went over to her house, and she had a very complex board. And Kestrin's style, there's been like, I really appreciate and enjoy the sort of improvised filmmaking. The Duplass brothers did it. The beautiful late Lynn Shelton was around this, and Kestrin comes at it with this very community-oriented kind of incorporative style, where she, I'm going to tell you what she does, and it may or may not be true, but from where I was sitting, she has a finger on the story, overarching story. And we all got together, and she had this board and all this stuff. And it wasn't always clear what the like total arc of the story was, but what was very clear was my role in the film, and my role in the family, and my role as the older sister to these siblings, and a lot of backstory, and also a lot of just like openness around me incorporating what I wanted to incorporate. And we got together, and you know, this movie is about the death of a parent, and I experienced that with my father recently. And that experience, you know, the opportunity to make a movie about the feeling of going home and doing this monumental life, you know, when a parent dies, like you get a I don't know how to, it's like a compression of your entire life. So you're like 6 years old and like 26 years old and 36 years old all at once. And then your future self and all your kids. And like, it's like your life gets very weirdly compressed. And so when I experienced it in my personal life, it was such a beautiful compression and explosion of dynamics between me and my siblings, my relationship with my father, just the sort of powerfulness of death. And it's something that we don't really like discuss or talk about in our culture, I think. Mm-hmm. It's kind of this like big open void. I mean, people make movies about it, and you know, artists try to say, you know, every poet in the world tries to say something about it. But ultimately, the biggest loss, I think, is a loss of community. So I always thought it was kind of an awesome meta weird thing that Kestrin made a community, a film community, out of like death. So it's like there's a bunch of layers. There's a bunch of layers happening in this film. And so for me, you know, I got to express and experiment with, and also, so my character, Julia Pride, I'm based on a sort of hodgepodge of older sisters. You know, your older sister who's like really into crystals and like has had like 10 different religions, unless that's you. I don't know. You're like, yes, I know that sister.
She's the only one I have. Do I have any other?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was basically like this. I think sometimes that those members of the family that are a little bit more, not black sheep, I hate that term, but like, I feel like in lots of family dynamics, there's always a person in the family that people kind of roll their eyes at. And it's really damaging and really intense. And it's usually based in some serious pain, that whole dynamic. But it's also very funny, you know? I don't know. I am a big proponent of the hilarity of pain. Like when really, really sad shit happens, I'm usually the one that's like, ha ha, shit. Because it's so real. It's so real. So like, yeah, I'm basically that sister. And so, you know, my sister in my family, I got to know better by doing this as well. I got to see her and also see how maybe me rolling my eyes at her is damaging, you know, damaging. I learned a lot from it.
Yeah. Well, and then on the opposite end.
I went into a fugue stage.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to say on the opposite end.
It was like a poem and a river and a dream. But you got it. You got it.
And a bow at the end. It was
like, bow. The bow.
I have a bow for you. That
the bow was the that. Bow. Yeah, we improvised. The bow is, yeah, we improvised the movie.
I think one thing that, because we're talking a lot about that it's a movie about death, it's that one thing that's always fascinated me is that no matter the situation, when you get five of the funniest people you know to deal with it, it's always funny. Like, no matter, there are always moments of extreme joy and levity. And even in our darkest times, there are always these moments of joy, because as humans, we can't just like be like 100,000% like goth Eeyore until we die. Like, you have to like explode out sometimes. And that always tickled me about how we get these manic moments of like uncontrollable laughter at the most inappropriate times. And that's this story kind of meant to me.
Yeah.
Funerals are hilarious. Nobody ever talks about that.
Wait, what is hilarious?
Funerals.
Oh my goodness.
They're hilarious.
I got at the most inappropriate funeral of my entire life. My friend and I, we glitched out because it was so sad. We started laughing hysterically and it was so bad and inappropriate. We were like blood coming out of our eyes. We were laughing so hard. It was so not okay. And that was what I really wanted to capture with this film.
Now, Milana, we haven't really had a chance to hear from you much, so I'd love to hear about your experience with this film, why you think it's had such a successful run, especially at a place like South by Southwest, which is considered a prestigious place to get your film into.
You sound surprised. like we didn't expect it to be a huge hit. We knew that going in.
Oh my gosh.
I'm totally messing with you. Sorry. I think it's a really special, wonderful film. I think especially at South By, because South By has this grassroots kind of base. It's like it's a home for filmmakers that love films and make it at any cost. And that's what this is. Like, we made a movie that we pulled out from inside of us with really nothing else but our guts and will and friendship. So that is what South By kind of stands for. So it makes sense. I wonder what it would have done at other festivals, you know, but I think it very much was built to succeed there. Also, our movie was based in Austin, which is just a nice little to South By.
So then, Kestrin, how did you get, like, what was the process for you getting this film from conception to actually physically being something as wonderful as it is?
I was closing my office because I had to, because my recently, like, I had to shut down my production office and work from home because I have two little kids and I have to be here all the time now. And I found a notebook from 2015 where I wrote out a grid of all the characters and their backstories and their relationship and a sketch of the outline of the movie. And I remembered that I pitched it in 2015 when I wrote it. And I was like, this is amazing. I just made a movie. I just did this other stuff. This is going to be so easy. And I pitched it to two people. Both of them were like, cool, like, keep us in the loop. And just because they didn't write me a check, I presumed that I was an idiot. The idea sucked and I was a dumbass and I should just go into a hole and die. So I forgot about it for 3 years. And then on
such an important part of the creative process.
And then
I guess I'll just go die now. Oh no, I mean make a movie. I mean
I'm so fragile. And then on New Year's Day, Brita came over to my house in 2018 and she was like, hey, I am on a show and I can't go out for pilot season. So if you want to make something, I have to go to work on February 1st. So if you want to do a podcast or whatever. And I was like, how about a movie about death? That's about five siblings and they do this and blah, 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 and it'll feature film. We could shoot it by then and we could do this. And Brita was like, I mean, I was thinking like a podcast episode. I mean, and then I just kept writing her and then I came to Milana's house and cried and she was like, why don't you make something? And I was like, okay, how about we make this? And like, it wasn't, Milana kind of pulled it out of me in a therapy session. Cause I was terrified to ask her. I was terrified to ask everyone and Sam and Mel. Yeah. It was very threatening asking the best actors that I know who are also my friends, because I think that there's this weird thing where you're like, I don't want to like exploit you or our relationship because our relationship is real and I want that to be good, but I also want to make this thing. If you want to make this thing, maybe we could all have a feature film under our belt before everyone goes to their TV show jobs in February, because Milana was also on a show. So it's a really fragile place to ask people who are your heroes that you really look up to, that you really respect and admire their talent, and be like, hey, will you tell my story and do what I say? And everyone who I wanted said yes, and it was amazing. And then once we had the team together, and the same thing was with the producers and the DP, our amazing DP, Mina, who shot some Netflix shows and stuff for the, you know, Warner Brothers.
She's amazing.
So it was just a miracle dream team, and we slammed it out very quickly. And then we got accepted to a prestigious editing program that cut Beasts of the Southern Wild and Winter's Bone and these amazing Oscar-y movies. And then a real amazing editor that Milana knew, Alex McKenzie, came on and he just like put it together in a way that was much better than any of us, like any other one person could have done. So it felt like a divinely guided thing. Like I wasn't doing it. It felt like it was happening to us.
No. Kestrin was at the helm forcing this child out of our body the whole time. She's going to say that, in retrospect, it's so nice to say that it all easily just came together. But Kestrin found these companies. She found these people. She wrote letters. She sat tirelessly editing scenes herself. Like, this woman made this movie happen with a lot of hard work. And I think, yeah, it's nice to look back and say that there were so many elements of it that were very, very, very lucky. But there was nothing that was effortless, except for like some of the scenes came together really magically. I think maybe some of the editing was really effortless, but like the process of making a movie is very challenging. And when it's done and released, it's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
And also, if I could add to that.
Fun to say yes to Kestrin. Yeah. It's also like fun to, if Kestrin asks you to do something, you say yes, it's usually fun. So it's not like we were like put out on that.
Yeah, no one was going to say
you go that. Ahead.
No, I was just going to say like, the fact that this movie was improvised and they had to edit that. Like, it's so fun to say, and we improvised it, you know, but that means many takes, of very different versions of the same scene and lining that up together, like, oh my God, so hard. And Kestrin, I know that you did some edit. I mean, a lot of people did some editing. So that was a group effort. And I'm still blown away by that aspect of it.
How do you then, I mean, in that instance, because there are so many different variations, which is like a dream because you have a lot to pick from, but then at the same time, how do you narrow down which one is best suitable to continue the through line?
There was probably some really bad improv that was easy to get rid of. But you do the bad stuff first, and then it gets good somehow.
Basically live editing. And so what Kestrin would do is have us do a long meandering take and then be like, I liked that. Don't do that. Do that 3 times faster and spin around when you say that line. Okay, go. You know? And right. So in that moment, we would, you know, we didn't have the luxury of time and money. So we really had to work fast. But I would say that by take 3, we had the scene. We at least had the shape of the scene. And then a lot of the funny lines and the quirks, those were often said just one time or for the first time when you're seeing them on camera. And sometimes that's what makes it feel so magical. And so that was all on tape. That was great. We didn't necessarily have to repeat jokes. We just had to work on the shape of things.
Right.
Okay. Then Sam, for you, because you had a couple scenes where you were on a telephone call with someone else. Mm-hmm. In that instance too, were you just given the situation and then from there you just kind of spat it out? Because there's obviously someone that has to respond back to you.
Yeah, well, we did all those. So I can say how we did it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we were...
No, Sam, don't tell them, Sam. Don't
tell them. If they know, they'll know it was a movie. It wasn't a movie. So Louise, my parole officer, and I, we have this sort of complicated relationship that's, there's some flirtation and what have you. But anyway, so we were always 10 feet away from one another, really doing the conversation in real time with 2 cameras on us at all times.
Oh, okay.
But Kestrin just had a really specific idea on how she wanted it. And I remember coming to Kestrin being like, I feel like it should be more like this. I feel like it should be, and Kestrin was like, you're just happy to talk to him. You just want to have a fun conversation. And then, okay, got it. But yeah, no, I mean, it was always easy in that regard because she always knew what she wanted beat-wise throughout the course of the story. You know, this is what this scene needs to accomplish. This is what we need to feel at this point in time. And
I remember one time telling you guys, okay, we're going to do this. It's your first check-in call. Maybe your second. You're going to fall in love. You're not going to, you're just going to talk. And by the end of the phone call, you guys are going to fall in love.
Mm-hmm. And I think we did. I think we did it.
And then you fell in love. You just figured it out. In love.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always curious too, Kestrin, because as an actor, it's one thing to direct other actors because you have that ability to speak their language, if you will. But then when you're also in a scene, how are you able to juggle like the emotional aspect of it, but at the same time be aware and thinking about all the technicalities that you have to do?
I'm going to make it. I love directing myself because when I have other directors directing me, I'm always kind of being like, God, I don't know. I wish I could have seen. So I always want to see the takes when someone else is directing me anyways, because sometimes I know when I can adjust myself. I'd be like, oh, no, hang on. I know what I need to do. And so it actually is faster and simpler because then I don't need to like go through a permission round of like not dealing, you know, like boundaries and authority and like being cool. And
what is that? What is boundary? What does that mean?
Not trying to like control another director's directing experience. Like, I just know that when I watch stuff back, I'm like, shit, I was doing that nose thing and I needed to like relax and just like tell it to him, you know, like I'm really harshly critical of like my own acting. And sometimes I can just be like, oh God, I was doing that thing again. I gotta like, hang on, just give it to me straight. I know what I'm gonna do. And if someone else is like, if I don't have that ability to like look at it while I'm doing it, I'm just like a little bit more terrified. So I love directing my own stuff. And I love editing my own stuff too, because I can just cut out everything that I suck in.
Yeah, that's what editing is. You're cutting out the things that everyone sucks in.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the film again, and Melanie, because you are pretty much, Joy's the centerpiece of everything that is going on around everyone, basically. And it's almost like she's oblivious to the damage that she's done, or maybe she hasn't. I'm curious from your perspective if that's how you played that character. Did she feel like everything she did was cool and justified and just like super unaware?
Absolutely, 100%. Completely unaware. She doesn't necessarily think that she's ever done anything wrong. And, you know,
it's a great way to die.
Yeah, I mean, she's charming, like, all the way through to the end. You know, there's a scene where she asks, Kestrin's character, Sadie, asks me, you know, what do you want? And I say, I want a party, you know. And they make this big party for me. And, you know, a lot of things come out in that party that I won't talk about. But yeah, there's a real darkness to how she lived her life and how she made money. And so not cool how the kids were involved in that. But she's just living her life. You know, and while it damaged the kids, you find out at this party that she had friends that really counted on her and thought she was good.
Yeah.
And so I liked that dynamic, and I liked filming that scene, and sort of like the unfolding of that was very powerful for me. I was really taken that day, not just as an actor, but as a person, you know? So yeah. That was interesting.
It's interesting.
I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, no, you totally did. Okay. But I found it interesting because indirectly, she's this mother of all these people who love her, but at the same time, and somewhat, she's sort of a villain, but not a villain, if that makes sense.
She's a charming, you know? A very charming villain.
Exactly.
Question. What's weird is the, I feel like, I don't know if I'm just like at a certain age now where like lots of people are talking about, like they're shitty parents. or just like where you know that like what people did when you were 10 is now like hard for you when you're 30, right? Or you know, like, and there's like a lot of dialogue around that, and it's so interesting to me.
It's like the boomer reckoning.
And it's so interesting to me of what it really takes for somebody, you know, everyone's the hero of their own story. And especially later in life, and you know, to have to reckon with the idea that you might have hurt a child and your child is a certain psychological like reckoning that is so huge and so big. And it's not clear that there's any actual path to that. Right. You know, there's no like atonement. You know what I mean? Like atonement is such a problem for us humans in general. And like, I think when a you know, authority figure dies, like a parent, like that atonement and that weirdness is so confusing, and there's no map for it. We don't have any map for how to handle that.
I would say the interesting part about it too, and I love that in this film, there are siblings who are obviously going to be at different ages, different walks of life. They deal with their grief or their hardships differently by living their lives differently. And so you have your character, Julia, and then Milana's character, Lucy, who's the youngest, who have totally different experiences because you were around mother longer. So you had to make more sacrifices, where then you have this younger person who hasn't seen the things because her mom hasn't been around, and she's, in some sense, has been fortunate to have the rest of you guys be the ones that raise her, you know? So I really enjoyed the scene where you and her were laying in the bed together and you guys were having the conversation about this is like what really happened. And I took the brunt of a lot of this stuff, and you just had no idea. So I guess there's no really question in that. That's just me saying it's a observation.
No. Well, yeah. It's I remember that was actually a reshoot because, Kestrin was like, we gotta like repair. Kestrin and her looking at the story was like, the atonement needs to occur between these siblings. Like, you know, in we and Milana and I came back and sort of did that scene later on, right?
Last day. It was the last day of filming.
No, no, no. I we came back like in between Mercedes, like a month later, I thought.
No, no, not for
when
that.
Was the last day?
It was?
Yeah. I remember. I remember.
I was never mind. I thought I had totally different hair. Oh, never mind. Maybe I'm just mixing up all the
things. Some of the flashbacks, I think.
Flashbacks.
There was, I remember there was a bunch of footage that came out and it was blurry, I guess. So we had to reshoot it. And it was like the greatest blessing because we got like, you know, all the scenes with you, Melanie, where you're on the bed and
well, the confessions we reshot a couple
of the first time it was like sort of dipping your toe, and I remember it was there was a lot of like blame and you know the sort of like the beginning seedlings of trying to get to repair in a way, and it was such a unforeseen blessing that that footage ended up being blurry because it gave everyone, at least me, an opportunity to kind of find some sense of resolve with my relationship, you know, with my mom, and that was cool.
Yeah, once we had a breath to think about it, we were like, maybe we should atone.
Yeah.
Well, now that the film is complete and it's on Amazon, it's on YouTube, people can rent, watch, purchase, where would you like to see this film going, and how would you guys like to see it touch other people's lives?
The Oscars, I feel.
Blockbuster.
Blockbuster video.
If we could release a Blockbuster video, that'd be so great.
That would be.
That's some bad news for you, Brita.
What is it?
Well, how about, because I know we have to wrap up soon, but like, what's one big takeaway from this film that you hope people get from it? And maybe something that you've learned from the process too.
Well, something that I, sorry to jump in, but something that I just in having gone through this journey of having to go to South By and all over the world, and now it's coming out in on digital format. It's just been really cool. People having seen the film, they really want to. People have constantly been coming up to me and telling me about their families and their experiences with their siblings and their parents and how it related to them. And I feel like, in a way, you know, it does feel like a gift in that way, and that people are able to watch this movie and see themselves in it, have their lives reflected back at them. And I just want that to continue on. And I think it's great that it's now in a format that, unlike the film festival circuit, which it was in, it's just more accessible to everyone. And during this time when we're in quarantine and we're, you know, being faced with our families and our lives, I think that this has the opportunity to give that gift to people. And I just hope that it keeps going.
Yeah, I would just tag on to that and say that, you know, the hope is that it's cathartic for people. And, you know, because there are so many really difficult situations going on around the world, and people need things to watch where they can laugh and cry. And, you know, I feel like sometimes when you have like this really connected experience with a group of actors and you create this piece of art, just because you had a good experience doing it doesn't mean it's going to be great. But I really love our film, and the people that I know that have seen it have told me that they really felt like they were a fly on the wall. They felt like they were really inside the house watching the story unfold, and that it was kind of voyeuristic in a way. And I was like, that's what we wanted, you know? And that's what I hope people experience.
And then really quickly, I want to hear from Milana, Rita, and of course, Kestrin. I'm going to have you wrap it at the end.
Go ahead.
Milana, you go.
I was just going to say that, you know, I think a lot of people right now more than ever are dealing with family dynamics, and it can feel like your family is uniquely crazy or uniquely difficult. And it is, It is. It's all, everyone's fucked up in their own special way. But I think hanging out with this family that like turns out okay. And actually like, you know, we grow a lot closer together in this film, which is an unfortunate side effect of death, or a blessed side effect of death. But I think in seeing that, you'll hopefully, what I hope we give people is a little bit of closure about their family and a little bit of hope around their family.
I just kind of time, so we're gonna have to wrap unfortunately, but Kesson, again, since you were writer, director, actor of this film, it is your baby, so one last thing that you could share with our audience to maybe intrigue them to go ahead and take a look at the movie.
I mean, I just hope they laugh at my jokes. So, no, I think that there is a part where right now everyone feels like it's happening to them and everyone is losing something really special to them right now. The whole world, everyone has lost something. If it's a job or if it's their freedom to go to Coachella or if it's just a parent, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening. If they lost their kid's ability to go to school. And if there's anything, I think that that loss, like, and this story speaks to that, is that we can survive this and there are things to be gained from being stuck in your house with your family. And there's a lot of resolution to be found. And if there's ever a time that it's not just you and you're not alone, this is that time that we're all in this together. And so I hope this film brings that spirit of survival and connection.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day to share with us your experience and the film. It's fantastic. You guys, check it out. You can find it on Amazon and on YouTube. And of course, find all these guys on social media. I'm your host, Ali Kona Bradford. Find me at yours truly, Ali Kona. And the rest of you, quick sign off. Give me your social medias and we'll say goodbye.
Yeah, the film's at motherslittlehelpers.co. That's where you can get it on iTunes, Amazon, and everywhere. And I'm at Kestrin, K-E-S-T-R-I-N.
I'm on Instagram, MelHut65.
Instagram at the Sam Littlefield.
Brita.
Oh, Instagram at Brita Wool.
Milana.
At Mint Milana.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on Popcorn Talk. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Hang out with us more often. You're a great addition to.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.